This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Raise Your Game. And for the past few weeks, I've been speaking to Rick Coles from Coles Training. We've been talking about customer service, the business differentiator. And Rick has taken me all around the world, from Malaysia to Oman and now to Singapore. And of course, we're talking about customer service. And, you know, once we get customers, we need to keep them. And we spoke about attracting them and then retaining them. That was last week. But when we lose them, we need to win them back. So this week, we're talking about that. So what is the cost of customer retention versus the cost of winning new customers?
Yes, when I think about this, I really wonder why companies don't think of this a bit more often, because there's a big difference in cost, obviously. If you've got a customer base already, that customer base could represent significantly a large part of your turnover, your revenue. It actually costs six times more to attract a new customer than to retain an existing one. Six times more. Your customers are your competitor's next prospect. They're just waiting for you to fail. So we need to get close to our customers, and we need to stay close to our customers. We need to develop appropriate customer service standards, and understand that there are methods and ways to retain our customers. Lots of companies have loyalty programs. Cafes, if you buy six coffees at the same cafe, you get one free. And even that kind of thing can retain customers. But the best way to retain customers, of course, is by looking after them and looking after them on a consistent basis and making sure that your procedures, your processes, your policies are all in tune with the customer in mind.
So what is the role of management in fostering good service cultures?
That's a good question, and it's a big role. And I'm glad we could bring that up this week, because we always talk about the frontliners and we put all the responsibility on their shoulders. But management have a big role to play. They have to have a real commitment to training. We should have built-in HR policies. All staff have to understand the strategic intent, vision, mission, objective, and goals of the organization. This often happens in the induction process when you first join a company. And, you know, for new recruits to understand clearly what our attitude towards the customer is. Also, we have to have continuous improvement driven. We have to have communication from the top. It's all about communication. And I think what staff have to understand through management, of course, is the need for profit and being cost effective. We have to allow training to take place, but we have to be very innovative the way it takes place. Because customer service is kind of a jazzy subject, and it's dealing directly with the customer, and we have to make it alive, exciting, and relevant to the frontliners' work. So we have to let the staff understand what their role is and how that role impacts the external customer. Of course, we always talk, we have talked in the past, haven't we, about the internal customer. We mustn't forget that. What we do internally will often be reflected externally. So line managers are responsible for a lot, supervising, training and coaching staff and procedures, making sure that targets and standards are realistic and achievable. And I think that information is available for the staff and to know what their parameters are in dealing with the customer.
And it's very true what you said, that whatever happens internally is reflected externally. You know, how can good customer service help businesses ride through tough times? You know, are there any stories around that?
Yeah, and when you think about this, tough times quite frequently, we say the only constant is change, and change can affect the times that we experience. Yeah, I mean, customer service is really the thing to consider in all times. But in tough times, we need to differentiate as many areas as possible from the other companies that may also be experiencing that. We have to keep everybody active and thinking positively during these tough times. We don't want this to be reflected to the customer. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, as they say. We may have to relook at our marketing strategy. Certainly, we have to maintain communication and spirit. Camaraderie amongst the frontliners and all people in the organization, of course. We have to organize teams to meet for creative and innovative brainstorming sessions involving, which are involved with the customer. Kind of a fighting culture. We have to fight. We have to fight to keep the customers, fight to make sure that they're happy. Focus on every dollar spent, obviously. And understand really about the impact that we can have on the customers. Very discerning spending in those times, because they are affected by it.
You know, customer service staff are also often worried about complaints and avoid, you know, dealing with them, you know. So what's the advice with them? In other words, how do you deal with complaints and attract back the customer?
Sure. When that happens, it's a golden opportunity. And I know most people like to hide from a complaint. when there is a problem, we just sort of, you know, dive under the counter or run to the back. If there's a problem, we have to be we have to ensure that staff are empowered to solve it for the customer. Again, the management involved in all these aspects, of course. Excuse me, sorry. All necessary information has to be given to the customer and to the frontliner. No problems made without which cannot be kept, and very importantly, any action that we promise must be followed up. It's very, very important. I think I mentioned that before. But I also talk about, you know, the cost of bad service, the direct and indirect cost. Well, the direct cost of the efforts of handling the complaint, the cost of refunds, perhaps, hopefully not, legal actions, corrective public relations. But there's also indirect costs of bad service, and that is the loss of sales, the cost of acquiring new customers, which we spoke about, and the loss of opportunity to expand. So dealing with customer complaints, there is a recipe and steps. It takes another program, perhaps. But realizing that there are different levels of complaints. We have the voicers. These are the people who are most desirable because they tell the company and they'll tell nobody else. Then we have the passives. They tell nobody and they may leave. Then we have the irates. These are very dangerous because they tell lots of people but not the company. And they'll probably leave the company. And then lastly, we have the activists. They're even more dangerous as they seek revenge on the company for the service that they've received, or at least they perceive they've received. And they'll try and get back at the organization.
Sounds like a marriage. You know, customer service statements or omissions, are they important? We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Rick Coles from Coles Training. Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Frida Liu, speaking to Rick Coles from Coles Training. For the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about customer service as the business differentiator. Last week, we talked about attracting and retaining them. And this week, we're halfway through a conversation on how to win back the lost customers or the lost sheep, and we've been talking about that. And is it important for a company to have a customer service statement or a mission to have any relevancy with its customers or staff?
Well, if you want to be taken seriously, both internally and externally, a customer service statement will tell both customers where we stand with customer service and how seriously we consider it. We have to make sure, of course, that it's relevant to that company and to the employees. We have to make sure it applies to everybody in an organization. Sometimes that's a problem that we say, well, the people who serve the customer, they're the important ones. Everybody, everybody in an organization, in unison, aligned towards the goal of delivering great customer service. A customer service statement will help to stress certain aspects for an organization, what an organization's strategic intent is over a period of time and how it's driven. Teamwork has to be emphasized. It has to stress the importance of customer service and its contribution to the organization's goals. There has to be a direct link. People have to understand how customer service fits in to an organization's overall strategy. Everybody should receive a copy. It should be properly explained to them. Customer service statements, you can have seminars and sessions and town meetings in order to get this message over. Again, management involved, top management and supervisors, line managers, etc. It should be referred to on a frequent basis. the customer service statement should be well known by everybody. Hmm. I worked for one company where we all had to have a copy of it, often very, very close to us, so we knew where it was and referred to it on a frequent basis. It should often appear in the company publications. There should be articles about it. Management should refer to it. It should be a document that's living, that's practiced. And obviously, all managers must practice what the statement preaches. Again, everybody involved in the whole aspect of this quality service and continuous improvement.
A lot of times we see all these statements that just get said once and then it's forgotten. So it has to be repeated often, as you say.
Yes, I think that's part of the learning process. You know, something that's repeated is acted upon and has to be understood. Everybody has to understand. Everybody has to take part, and it can be enjoyable. I mean, if staff take part in such a statement, such a mission statement, in formulating it, then they'll buy into it better. If it's dictated to them and just delivered to them without any communication, internal communication, then it's not going to be lived, as it were.
All right. So what training, can help companies to track back the so-called lost customer, and they need to know what to do when things go wrong?
Yeah. Well, I often say that customer service incorporates a lot of other skills. I mean, it's that there are a lot of pillars that support customer service, and these pillars should be in any training. Telephone skills. How do you deal with the customer on the phone? Because some people could deal with the customer up to 100 times. I hear even more sometimes on the telephone. Simple social skills. The ability to accept a complaint and how to talk to the customer about it. Face to face, interpersonal. Proper questioning, listening, nonverbal. All three should send the same message. Your ability to accept and to take responsibility for requests. How to solve a problem. How to be creative. Coping with anger. Big issue. And diffusing aggression. All part of the recipe to solve a complaint. You know, dealing with customer complaints has various steps, and there's a negative cycle of poor complaint handling. So your question is very relevant, because if our frontliners, if anybody in an organization deals with the customer's complaint in a poor way, customers will leave and they'll become what we call not goodwill ambassadors, but badwill ambassadors. And then the other worst thing is the public begins to identify that company or that business as a place where it does no good to complain, because they don't do anything about it. Therefore, customers will stop complaining. The company loses opportunities to learn what they can do to improve the services. And ultimately, the product and service quality are not improved, leading to even more dissatisfaction. It's a terrible cycle that takes place.
All right. We've heard of customer focus. What strategies can companies have to help with this focus?
Yes, a customer focus, again, part of the statement, part of the way a company thinks. One strategy, I think, with the customer service is to have a statement about customer treatment, articulated and communicated inside and outside the organization. That's one part of the strategy. I'll only mention a couple for today with regards to this, the strategies that companies can do. We need to, number two, develop and use a reliable method of monitoring what's happening in the organization with regards to customer service. Another strategy I have mentioned already is that management's prime responsibility would be for supporting the values and beliefs of the organization. A fourth one is to tell good stories. It's not all bad news. And if an organization does well, success stories told and publicized can be very uplifting within an organization and very encouraging to people like me and outside the organization who are considering this company as I'm considering doing business with that company. Very important strategy, again, I've mentioned it. Involve all staff in the whole strategy. Any workable suggestions for any improved performance involves everybody. It's not just the poor frontliners who always bear the brunt of it. We need to, one more I think on, for the moment, is we need to use regular, frequent, and all sorts of methods of taking customer feedback. Organizations don't have those. And that is letting them, they're letting themselves down. This wonderful opportunity to have a proper system. Look, the fact of life is that people will complain. And things will go wrong. That's accepted by the customer. They're not that unreasonable. But the real problem is how is it dealt with? So the golden opportunity is there. Something went wrong. We have to accept that. How are we going to focus on the customers? And how are we going to focus on fixing the problem for them?
Speaking of stories, you have a story of a taxi driver that retains customers and likes them. Tell us about him.
All right. Wonderful story about Wally the taxi driver in New York. The guy was waiting at the arrivals at New York Airport for a taxi and up-pulled Harry's taxi. The first thing that the we'll call the customer, Tom. First thing that Tom noticed was the taxi was polished to a bright shine. Smartly dressed in a white shirt, black tie, and freshly pressed slacks was Wally. He jumped out of the taxi and he rounded the back of the car, passenger door, opened it for the customer. He handed Tom a laminated card. And on the card, he said, "I'm Wally, your driver. While I'm loading your bags in the trunk, I'd like you to read my mission statement." Well, the customer was taken back. And anyway, this is how the mission statement went on the laminated card. It said, "Wally's mission statement: to get my customers to their destination in the quickest, safest, and cheapest way possible in a friendly environment." Well, this blew Tom away. I mean, he couldn't believe it, especially when he noticed that the inside of the taxi matched the outside, spotlessly clean. As Wally slid behind the wheel, he said to the customer, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" "I have a thermos of regular and one of decaf." And Tom jokingly said, "I prefer a soft drink." And Wally smiled and said, "No problem. I have a cooler up here with regular and Diet Coke, water, and orange juice." So at this point, he's almost stuttering. He said, I'll take a Diet Coke." He handed him his drink, and he said, "If you'd like something to read, I have the Wall Street Journal, Time, Sports Illustrated, and USA Today." So Tom said, "Give me USA Today." And anyway, as they're pulling away, Wally handed him another laminated card. And he said, "These are the stations I get and the music they play if you'd like to listen to the radio." And as if that weren't enough, Wally told the customer that if he had air conditioning on and asked if the temperature was comfortable for him. How many times have you been asked that? Then he advised them of the best route to Manhattan for that time of day. And he also let him know that he'd be happy to chat and tell him about some of the sights, or, if he preferred, he'll leave him to his own thoughts. Finally, the customer couldn't wait any longer, and he said, "Tell me, Wally, have you always served customers like this?" Wally smiled. He looked into the rearview mirror. He said, "No, not always. In fact, it's only been in the last 2 years. My first 5 years of driving, I spent most of my time complaining like all the other taxi drivers do. Then I heard a personal growth guru on the radio one day. He'd just written a book. He said, 'You'll see it when you believe it.' And the trainer had said, 'If you get up in the morning expecting to have a bad day, you'll rarely disappoint yourself.' He said, 'Stop complaining. Differentiate yourself from your competition. Don't be like a duck. Be like an eagle. Ducks quack and complain. Eagles soar above the crowd.' That hit me right between the eyes," said Wally. "He was really talking about me. I was quacking and complaining, so I decided to change my attitude, and I became an eagle. I looked around at all the other taxi drivers. Their cabs were dirty. The drivers were unfriendly. The customers were unhappy. So he decided to make some changes, and he put in a few at a time. When my customers responded well, I did more." And the customer said, I take it this has paid off for you." "Sure has," Wally said. "My first year as an eagle, I doubled my income from the previous year. This year, I'll probably quadruple it. In fact, you were lucky to get me today. I don't sit at taxi stands anymore. My customers call me for appointments on my cell phone or leave a message on my answer machine. If I can't pick them up myself, I get reliable taxi friends to do it, and I get a piece of the action, a commission." You see, Frieda, Wally was phenomenal. He was running a limo service out of a yellow taxi and deciding that he was going to do things a little bit different. And none of them cost a lot of money, but each of them differentiated Wally's taxi journey or experience for the customer from everybody else.
Wow, that's a great story. And on that,
by the way, Wally's retired in in Florida in a beautiful condo while his taxis are making him a fortune.
That's what eagles do.
True story, by the way. True story.
I've been speaking to Rick Coles from Coles Trading, talking about customer service, the business differentiator, Raising Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.